you have your Bible today, I want to follow along with our Bible study that we'll do here in just a few minutes. It's found in John chapter 14. We'll be looking at a few verses together. John chapter 14. As we think about how Mary was able to, and Joseph were able to look and gaze right there in the face of God as they held that little baby that night, that holy night. John chapter 14. And the Lord Jesus was meeting with his followers, his disciples, just before he went to the cross to die for our sins. He was there and speaking to them in that upper room. And John chapter 14, the discussion or the conversation is recorded there. And I'll begin reading verse 7, where Jesus says, actually, I'll read verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, Jesus said, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Well, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. The Lord was telling his followers there, believe the words that I'm saying to you, but also believe the works that I've done, the miracles, those things that have proven that I was sent from the Father to show you who he is. What a loving God we have. People have always wondered what God is like and speculated and imagined a variety of things, ways to represent him. Some have made a golden calf, a wooden pole, or an angry volcano. They kind of ascribe godhood to that. Some have imagined him to be a God that is to be dreaded or appeased in some way. Well, someone said years ago, God created man in his image, and man has been returning the favor ever since. Trying to imagine and sort of speculate what God's like or who he is. But Jesus came to reveal that to us, to show us the Father. Show us who God is. I love what Pastor Max Lucado wrote. He said, never in mankind's wildest imaginings did we consider that God would enter the world as an infant. On a starlit night in the company of sheep, cattle, and a bewildered Joseph, Mary's eyes fell upon the face of her just-born son. She was weary, in pain likely, ready to place her head on the straw and sleep the rest of the night away, probably just exhausted. But first, Mary had to see this face, his face, to be the first to whisper, so this is what God looks like. Imagine being there on that special night, that holy night, that night that was unlike any other night there's ever been or ever will be, the night Jesus came into this world and was born. The Bible tells us that he is the one that shows us God. He reveals that to us. John chapter 1, verse 18, no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, speaking of Jesus, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He's the one that showed him to us openly. We read in Colossians chapter 2 that in him, speaking of Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He took upon himself a body so that he could come and show us and point us to God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Here in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And boy, didn't we have some great visits from the prophets today, Isaiah and Jeremiah. But it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us, how? By his Son. By his own Son, God spoke to us and revealed himself. It says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. What a special thing it is for Jesus to come, and who is in the brightness of his glory. and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I wonder today, if I were to ask and put that question to you, would you like to see God? Would you like to see God, who he is? All we have to do is take a look at Jesus. Take a look at him. There was a true story of an incident that occurred in a small village in Brazil. In a little hut with a dirt floor and a red tile roof lived Maria, a mother, with her daughter, Christina. And Maria's husband had died when Christina was just an infant, and she had done her best to raise her daughter and meet her needs. But Christina was now a pretty teenage girl, and the time had come for her to look for employment herself, to add to the income, the little bit that Maria's job had given her and provided for her as a house cleaner. Well, Maria's job provided enough to buy food and clothing, but there was barely enough to eke out an existence there. And so now it was time for Christina to find a job. But Christina had a streak of independence in her. And she often talked to her mother about fleeing the dusty little village and going to Rio de Janeiro, the big city, to seek opportunities there. Her mother would react in fear and tell her daughter, "Don't do it, Christina. The streets are cruel. You don't want to go there." Maria knew that if her daughter went there, she really couldn't support herself. And she knew what Christina would have to do for a living if she went that way. And that's why the morning that Maria found her daughter was missing and was no longer there, her heart broke. She knew where Christina had gone. Maria, the mother, immediately gathered her clothing and she headed for the bus depot. When she arrived there in Rio de Janeiro, she went to a little drugstore, and first thing she did, she took all the money that she could possibly spare, and she stepped into a little photograph booth and closed the curtain behind her and took as many pictures of herself as she possibly could, what she could afford. And now, armed with her bag of clothes and a purse full of little black and white photographs, she reached and headed for those back streets where she thought she might find Christina. She knew that Christina had no skills for earning money, and also knew that when pride meets hunger, there's no telling what a human being would do to survive. Maria went to the bars and to the hotels, to the nightclubs, the street corners, looking for her daughter. Wherever she went, she would tape her picture to a wall or a mirror or a bulletin board. She went everywhere she possibly could, spreading those pictures everywhere as she went. And on the back of each photograph, she had written the same message. And finally, after several days, she ran out of money, she ran out of photographs, and hadn't found Christina yet. Tired and brokenhearted, she wept as she rode that rickety old bus back to her village without her daughter. Well, several months passed by, and Christina one day was coming down the steps of a hotel and looked across the lobby, and she thought she saw a familiar face. Taped to a mirror. She recognized it, and her eyes welled up in tears immediately. Her throat burned as she ran across the lobby floor, and she pulled that picture off the mirror, and it was indeed a picture of her mother. She stared at her mother's face for a long time, and then she happened to notice that there was writing on the other side of the picture, and she turned it over, and she read this. It said, "Wherever you are, whatever you've become, I will forgive you. Please come home." That's exactly what Christina did. She got on that bus and she headed home. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus, as he opened his arms to be nailed on the cross, it was God's way of expressing to us his invitation for all of us to come back to him. He says to all, "Wherever you are, whatever you've become, I will forgive you. Please come home." The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. Sin, those things that we do that God says are wrong. Those things that displease God and go against and violate His holy nature. The lies, the deceptions, the stealing, the adulteries, all the things that God lists out in His commandments are things that He doesn't want us to do. When we violate His commands and we break His law, we are sinning against a perfect and righteous and holy God. And because of that, the Bible says what we earn for ourselves because of our sin is death. Separation from God. And it's not just in this life. The Bible speaks of a second death, where after we die physically, if we die in our sins without having them forgiven, the Bible talks about being separated from God forever in a place that He has prepared for the devil and his angels, a place of torment, a place called the lake of fire and hell. God didn't want anybody to go there and experience that. So He put out His picture to us. He sent His own Son, who while He was here on earth said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we see the end of that verse, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, how did He gain that for us? Tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God showed us. He commended. He puts it up for everybody to see. He's advertising it to you today and inviting you to take His offer. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He paid the price for our sins. And I wonder today, have you ever come to the point in your life where you realized you are a sinner? You're a guilty sinner before God. You've broken His law. You stand guilty before Him. You deserve His righteous punishment. Jesus is our only hope of being rescued. That's why this night was so important. That holy night, when the only one that could save us from our sins entered into this world and became flesh, just like you and me. He grew up. He never once sinned against God. He never once violated any of the commands. He lived a completely perfect life. And then He laid down His life to take the death penalty that we deserve. He took it on Himself for you and for me. He died for us. If you've never asked Jesus to save you, would you be willing to do that right now? Believe that He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day, the Bible says. He's alive forever. And He wants to be your Savior if you'll simply ask Him. Just simply call upon Him. If you'll cry out to Him right now in your heart, He's promised to save you, to rescue you from your sins. That's what's so amazing about that holy night. Jesus came to save us, to seek and to save those who are lost. Is that you today? Would you cry out in your heart to Him to save you? The Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's God's written guarantee that if you'll call out to Him, He will save you. Would you do that if you've never done that today? We're going to have a moment where we bow our heads and pray. And I would invite you to take advantage of the quietness of this moment right now to cry out to Jesus in your heart. And I wonder, those of you who know Christ as your Savior, are you presenting an accurate picture to others of who He is? Through your life, through your testimony, so that they'll want to know Him too? Just like that mother put her pictures all over the place so that somehow her daughter would find that picture and be reminded of who her mother was and how much she missed her. Are you presenting a picture accurately to others of who Jesus is through your life and testimony? So they can see how Jesus has made a difference in you and desire that for themselves. Maybe there's something in your life you need to confess to God and say, "Lord, please help me with this area of my life where I'm not honoring You. I'm living for myself. Lord, would You forgive me and help me to live right so that I can be a testimony to others of how good You are and how You're inviting them to salvation as well." Father, as we bow for prayer and we take this moment to search our own hearts to make sure that we are in a right place before You. I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, You'd draw them to Yourself at this time. Maybe there's somebody watching online that's never cried out to Jesus to be their Savior. Lord, may right now be that time, that day today could be the day of their salvation. And Lord, we want to take advantage of this opportunity and of your invitation to us to come to you for salvation. Lord, we know it's nothing in and of ourselves. It's nothing we can do to earn it. Jesus paid it all there on the cross. And so, Father, I pray that if there's one here who doesn't know you, that today they cry out to you in their heart. For those of us who are believers, I pray you'd help us to live a life that honors you, that points others to you, how you make a difference in our lives. Lord, help us to live clean lives and holy lives, ones that are pleasing in your sight. And we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.